Who was this man? What was it? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Oh my gosh, look at this. It's the grown-up time of year. It's the serious time. It's just you and me. 18-wheeler, 4-wheeler, it's just us, 14 inches away from the speaker. I'm 14 inches away from the microphone. This is the most intimate medium. Coming up, I'm going to share with you the secret to career success at the holidays. Plus, the mystery solved. How long does the food last when you put it in the kids' lunchbox? Dr. Dave with the weather.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
Get ready to stand behind an elderly person pulling out random change. Details later. People of Walmart, Sterling at night.
Dan and Becky Gaffney here. We had to take one of our kids to the hospital this week. And that's when we realized sometimes the medical community can be a little judgmental against dads.
Coming up tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
We have a police attack, a monkey attack, a nephew attack, and a dog gets baptized. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's all coming up on today's Florida Stories.
Las Vegas Raiders super fan and stripper gets banned. Details later, strippers on the loose, Sterling at night.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I talk about one of my former partners, a 6'5", 350-pound Chinese detective who I affectionately named Bok Choi, and he referred to me as Lo Fan, which means evil white ghost. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
Walter M. Sterling, live on Sunday night. Is there another show that's live on Sunday night? Is the Bitcoin show live? Is Your Retirement and You show live? Is that Christianity and Money show live? No. All of those were pre-recorded, and right now, all of those hosts are drunk at Red Lobster. It's just you and me, live on the radio, which is how radio is supposed to be. Good evening. It's grown-up time. This is when your relatives who you don't like are gathering. But let me give you some terrific advice about the relatives. And I've got a story about my Aunt Martha and my mother that I'm going to share with you that is haunts me and sends me into therapy on a regular basis. You're over 18. Based on the demographics I've seen, you can barely get out of the wheelchair. The fact is that you're a volunteer. Once you're over the age of 18, you don't have to go anywhere. You can stay home. You can make up whatever lie you want just to sit there and binge watch the airplane crash shows or the Lifetime movie, You can either watch the Lifetime movie marathon or you can watch the airplane crashes forever, constantly, over and over again. You don't have to go to any Thanksgiving. But let me give you the best piece of career advice. This is, I hope you embrace this and hold on to it for dear life. The holiday party that your business puts on has nothing to do with you. The smartest thing to do about a holiday party, and let me know if you think I'm right. The smartest thing you can do at a holiday party is to go in about 20 minutes after it starts, look for the host, whoever is signing the approval for the expense of the holiday party, walk up to them, shake her hand, and say, thank you so much for this party. It looks great. The food's terrific. I love working at this company. She will thank you and be all smiles and then slowly back away from her, mingle into the crowd, disappear into the crowd, and then disappear out the exit. Nothing good happens at a holiday party, especially with you. The way you behave, the way you're known, you don't want any more gossip. You want to be there. You don't want people to say, well, why didn't she come to the holiday party? You don't want that. You want to make sure the host knows you were there, and then you want to leave and go home and watch the airplane crash shows or binge watch the Lifetime channel. That's my experience with holiday parties. How about yours? 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT, Walter M. Sterling. Good evening. Now, I have a personal dilemma, a problem. My 18-year-old daughter, on her own, decided that what she needed on her God-perfect, beautiful body, face, was a tattoo. Now, did she say, hey, Dad, do you think I should get a tattoo? Did she call her mother or her grandmother and say, do you think I need a tattoo? No. She decided on her own to get a tattoo because it would make her happy. And then, how did I find out? I got a FaceTime phone call with her and her older sister. Her older sister wanted to witness this, wanted to witness my reaction to a tattoo on this perfect child. She got a tattoo of her cat, of her black and white cat. She had it on her arm. And when on this FaceTime call, my daughter said, do you want to see it, Dad? Do you want to see this? I said, no, I have to process this first. Let me process this. And in fact, why don't you show it to your grandmother first and then let her tell me about the tattoo? Or back when I was rich, we had a nanny. This was a world-class nanny. Now, we lived in Manhattan. Many people who don't live in Manhattan think somehow that it's a great luxury to have a nanny. It is not. It is a necessity to have a nanny in Manhattan. If you ever want to leave your house, you have to have a nanny. We had a nanny. This was a world-class nanny, a wonderful woman who had very clear morality, who had very distinct rules for my children and for me, mind you, that we all had to behave. But she passed away recently. It was very sad. Anne, we miss you very much. I said to Meredith, I said, well, I'll tell you what. Next time you're in the car, why don't we drive past Anne's grave? And then you can show me your tattoo. What do you think about that? My fear in life, my friend, and I need your help and advice with this. How do I prevent her from getting another tattoo? That is my greatest fear. Maybe it's already happened. I don't know. What do you think? What should I do? I need your advice. I have a phone number and a vanity phone number at that. 888-688-WALT. 888-688-WALT. 888-688-9258. And coming up in just seconds, I'm going to share with you the greatest myth about Thanksgiving. Every single local television station in America is going to lie about this event. And I am here to be a myth buster coming up in just seconds. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Harvey Holiday.
Late on a Sunday night, it's Holiday with love music, and it's so sad to see good love go bang.
Hi, it's Dan Gaffney.
And I'm Becky Gaffney.
Tales of life with our eight kids in our old house. We had to take one of our boys to the doctor and then the hospital for testing. He's okay. But it reminded us of a few things.
Doctors sometimes think that mom should be the one carting the kids around, doing all of the things, and that dads babysit.
I don't like it when I'm with my kids and they say, I'm babysitting. No, it's called fathering.
Hello? Parenting. It's what you do. And I really don't like it when it's in the medical community or in places where, you know, people would expect you to actually come up and parent and do those kinds of things, whether you're a mother or a father.
I took one of our children when he was a newborn to get the 1 week blood test about a week after his birth, I think.
I think so. Close. Yeah.
And I got the third degree. Well, where's his mother? Where
Absolutely.
Is the mom? Where you were not well.
I was very ill, and it would have been impossible for me to have had him there, and he had to go have this done. So, of course, Dad does it.
And, of course, I've been through this drill. All right, this is my eighth child.
Right.
I think I know what I'm doing, but why are they doing that? I'm the parent. They know I'm the parent, but they're still saying, well, where is mom? Why isn't mom here? How are you doing this? What?
All right, and we're just going to say this doesn't just relate to us. Let's go back to what happened this week. We went in. It was a sensitive issue where maybe you don't want mom in the room. So mom steps out of the room. I'm there. I step out of the room, but we're both there parenting, and he gets the third degree. He's getting questioned while I'm sitting in the waiting room, and a medical professional comes up and says to the people sitting next to me, because it's a man and his child, Well, where's Mom? Why didn't Mom bring him today? Does it matter? Would you say that if a woman is bringing a kid to the doctor? I have never been asked, where's Dad? Why isn't Dad with you? Does Dad know what's going on? It's the strangest thing. It's almost equivalent to people saying in the store, are you babysitting your child today, when a dad is alone with the child? Almost equivalent, except I would expect more from doctors.
Not all sexism is toward women. That's one of the points we're making here today.
Really, what it comes down to is you're perpetuating the idea that all a mom can do is cart a kid around and make sandwiches, and all a dad can do is be absentee.
Follow me on Facebook, Dan Gaffney Show.
Look for me on Instagram as Just Being Mom.
Dan and Becky, Sterling on Sunday.
You know, that's absolutely right. And it didn't even occur to me till just now. I used to take my kids to a pediatric dentist. He was an older, traditional dentist, but he was a pediatric dentist, and they loved him. But I'll never forget a couple times when he said, you know, this one needs an orthodontist. This one should be seen by an orthodontist. And I was there alone with the kids, and he said, a couple times he said, give the information to Mom. Give the information to Mom. And it didn't dawn on me till just now, listening to the Gaffneys, that what he was saying was that he was uncomfortable with the kids being brought there with just Dad. And I was on my best behavior, so it wasn't me. It could have been me, but in this particular case, it was not. But that's true. A lot of people are uncomfortable if just the dad shows up, and especially with Dan Gaffney, who has eight kids, how could they be uncomfortable with that? I'm Walter M. Sterling. Good evening. This is Sterling on Sunday. My phone number is 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258, and I need your advice. About 2 weeks ago, my 18-year-old decided that it was a good idea to get a tattoo. Now, no one else in our family that I know of has a tattoo, not even people who were in the military. No one has a tattoo. We're coming up on Thanksgiving when all of her cousins and all of her real aunts and uncles will be there. And they're going to find out. Grandmother's going to find out. She would have found out sooner, but she couldn't hear anybody saying that the kid has a tattoo. My fear is that she'll get a second tattoo. One was bad enough. Two, not okay. Now, what do you have against tattoos, Walter? What do you have against? I'll tell you exactly what I have against them. I have nothing against them on an 18-year-old. Problem is, they're permanent. And there's nothing more terrifying than seeing a rattlesnake going up the thigh of a woman at the swimming pool when they're 58. Now, she doesn't have a rattlesnake. She has a small picture of a cat on her arm. But that can only lead to more trouble. How do I convince her? What do I say to not make it an act of rebellion to get another tattoo? How do I prevent another tattoo? 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. I think you'll agree that a tattoo on your kid is far more significant than anything that could happen today in Congress. Now, the Christmas party is something that's none of your business. You don't go to the Christmas party. Nothing good comes from it. Any stories that are told about the Christmas party are not, gee, Susan looked great that night. She looked fantastic. Or Frank was such a charming, debonair guy. Or the food was spectacular. That is never the conversation about the Christmas party, is it? The conversation about the Christmas party is, Frank got drunk again. Boy, did he get drunk. I know that the boss wasn't really happy about that. Why volunteer for that? Show up, shake hands with the host, thank them for a lovely party, mention that you love working for the company, and then quietly do the Irish goodbye. Sneak into the crowd, disappear, and after a half a drink, nobody in that crowd is going to know you if you're there or not and could care less. Now, let me share with you the biggest myth about the holiday season. I don't know how this keeps going. Every year, the day before Thanksgiving, the junior reporter from the TV station is sent out by the news director, or probably because it's holiday week, the assistant news director, the executive producer of the newscast, is sent out to the airport. And they're told to stand on the departure ramp outside the doors of the airport. Same airport in every city in America. Same shot in every city in America. camera person's about 10 feet away to have a long shot of the ramp coming up with traffic and the doors. And what do we see? Nothing. There's no traffic. There are no people coming to the doors. It is not the busiest day of the year. This is one of the great myths of our time, that it's one of the busiest days of the year. It is not. The busiest day at the airport, at any airport, is either the second or third week in June, because that's when you have the confluence, SAT word, confluence of vacationers and business people going in and out of the airport on a Friday. That's the highest. Second or third week in June is the busiest day of the year. They never cover that. They never send anyone else out for that. But you will see, I guarantee you, I want you to send me an email. Promise you'll send me an email reporting on your local TV news show that they have sent out some poor junior reporter to suffer in the cold outside the airport doors on the departure ramp. WalterMSterling@gmail.com. WalterMSterling@gmail.com. Tony, 888-688-WALT. 888-688-WALT. Tony, welcome to Sterling on Sunday.
Hello, how we doing?
Well, Tony, I'm indoors. How about you?
I'm driving, but I've got, of course, hands-free, so I'm safe right now.
I don't care if you're safe. I just care that you've called in. Thank you for calling. What do you have to report?
Okay, well, you know, I'm not a parent. So this is, I guess, someone from the outside looking in. But in regards to the your daughter having a tattoo and your concerns about her, I can tell you, as I've been in, I'm in my 50s and I've been in management for a long time, and it's not, I think you hit the nail on the head. You might want to convey to her, it's not what you think or you care. It's how other people perceive it. I had a kid working for me, and he had to deal with the public, and he had a skull not the palm of his hand, but on the other side of his hand, the back side of his hand. So anytime you'd see his hand, you'd see a picture of a skull. But what I wanted to kind of put forward to you is, you mentioned that a 50-plus-year-old lady with a rattlesnake on her leg. Why don't you pull up some pictures of elderly people or older people with tattoos, and maybe there's some stories of people who got tattoos when they were young that regretted them when they got older.
Genius, Tony. Thank you very much for your call. Absolute genius. I will pull up photos of older people with tattoos and their stories of how they regret it. And if I'm really good, you know what I'll do? I'll print them out and I'll wallpaper my daughter's room with those pictures. I will wallpaper my daughter's. Excellent advice. How do I prevent my daughter from getting a second tattoo, since I completely failed to prevent her from getting her first tattoo? 888-688-WALT. This is the holiday conversation that I crave. You and I are driving across Route 80 up and down the 5 in California. It was finally fixed for a nanosecond. 95 on the East Coast, I-4 in Florida, and the luge, I-90, going across the barren dystopian world of upstate New York and Pennsylvania. Our hell. Our hell. 888-688-WALT. Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday. Inspired by Anna Kendrick.
So, and now there's a scene in the movie that I understand was pretty uncomfortable. You guys were in the shower together.
Uncomfortable. It was the best day of my life.
Live on Sunday night. How do I prevent my 18-year-old daughter from getting a second tattoo? I completely failed. She got her first tattoo. I need to prevent her from getting a second tattoo. I hate them. 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. And you and I are going to go to the French Riviera. Details in seconds. Dr. Dave Iser with your weather.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
Get ready to stand behind an elderly person pulling out random change. Details later. People of Walmart, Sterling at night.
We have a police attack, a monkey attack, a nephew attack, and a dog gets baptized. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's all coming up on today's Florida Stories.
Las Vegas Raiders super fan and stripper gets banned. Details later, strippers on the loose, Sterling at night.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I talk about one of my former partners, a 6'5", 350-pound Chinese detective who I affectionately named Bok Choi, and he referred to me as Lo Fan, which means evil white ghost. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
Good evening, 38 past the hour, Walter M. Sterling, driving with you across the country. Up and down the coast. It's a beautiful night in our great country. We're going to have a terrific Thanksgiving. But remember, you're a volunteer. You can't complain about the relatives or where you were seated at the table or how you're 42 and they still put you at the kids' table. You're volunteering to go, and you're no prize. I am no prize. Therefore, my job is to either don't go or show up and be extremely pleasant. I'm a broadcaster. I'm a professional actor. That's what we do. 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. You and I are going to go to the French Riviera next October. I want you to get information about this incredible trip. We're going to go to the French Riviera for 9 days. You, me, my gorgeous wife, we're going to go. We're going to get out of here and finally give ourselves the vacation that we deserve. A vacation of misfits and introverts going to the French Riviera. We're going to have the best time. Here's how you get the information. Go to WalterSterlingShow.com, WalterSterlingShow.com, and just scroll down to the big picture of the French Riviera beach. Click link, get information, click for the details, do it. Get the facts. You got plenty of time to plan, to get your passport, And why not, right? Isn't it time you had the vacation you want and not having to go to the Poconos? Alex in Philadelphia, welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Hi, Alex. You're live.
Yes, sir. And I just want to give a little testimonial before I get into my story about the tattoo. But I've been listening to you for many, many years. And I have to tell you that you have really become comfortable in this show. It's great to be able to say, hey, it's after 10, let's turn on Walt. Walter, I think you prefer Walter, don't you?
Walt pumps your gas, but thank you. That's a very gracious thing for you to say, Alex. I am having a good time. I'm glad you're having a good time.
As far as the tattoo thing goes, I had an acquaintance back in the 70s who went into the Navy, and he had a snake tattooed on his forearm.
Yes.
And he thought it was cool at first until he realized most of his not-quite-friendly associates would call him Truth in Advertising. And he eventually went into the engineering field, you know, and it was, you know, he realized it was going to be a detriment to have this thing on his arm, but it took him many, many years of graftings to get this removed, and it never really did come off. I think he paid his house off before he actually got the tattoo removed.
I'm told it's expensive and painful to have them removed. And now, Alex, I'm going to tell you about the funniest name of a TV show I've ever seen. I saw it a week ago on one of those zillion listings that you get on your cable. Believe it or not, this is a real TV show from England. It is called Tattoo Removers on Holiday.
Wow.
Like, who would come up with an idea like that? Hey, Alex, I hope you have a great holiday. Thank you for your kind remarks. Thank you for listening to Sterling on Sunday. 888-688-9258, 888-688-9258. Deborah in Kansas City, I'll bet you you're listening on KMBZ, programmed by the brilliant Alan.
So much.
Hi.
I love you. I don't get to listen too much. I work in a hospital. I have 9 tattoos. Every tattoo tells a story. I would advise your daughter, do not get them on your arms. If she wants to put them in other places, make them small. I have one that is a cover-up on my forearm. It's large. Yeah. I am for the tattoos. they all tell a story, just make sure that she doesn't put them in places that are too visible, because that can be detrimental.
But Deborah, in Kansas City, you're articulate, you work in a hospital, therefore you're educated
yes,
and
sir.
Bright. You could tell the story.
Yes.
You don't need a tattoo to tell the story. You could tell the story.
We do things when we're young, and I'm 56. I had one 2 years ago.
What's the one you got 2 years ago, Deborah?
The paw print of my dog that passed away.
I'm sorry about your dog going over the Rainbow Bridge. I understand the heart relationship between a pet and you, and I appreciate it. Deborah, mostly I appreciate you calling, and thank you for your thoughtful advice. Thank you for what you said. I hope you have a spectacular holiday, even if you decide to stay home and watch the Lifetime movie for 24 hours. That's your right. You can do that if you want. Thank you very much for calling, Deborah. 888-688-WALT, live Sunday night, KMBZ. You know what? You have... No, we'll play that in the next hour. I want you to hear an amazing, amazing commentary that Alan First, the program director of KMBZ, put together for us. He's a brilliant broadcaster. Should be the head of programming for the whole company. There's not a doubt in my mind. This, when I read Alan First's resume, CV, I'm like, oh my God, this is like, I've never known anybody with a CV this solid and this impressive. And most impressive to me is for like 3 years, Alan First was in Australia, programming in Sydney, Australia. Now, what is the benefit of programming in Sydney, Australia? In Australia, they call themselves the luckiest country in the world, and it is. They have figured out the best of capitalism, the best of socialism. They've combined them, and nobody hates them. Nobody hates Australia. But the other thing is, I swear, there are no gyms. There are no health clubs in Australia, because every woman looks like Elle McPherson. They're born that way. They stay that way. It's remarkable. I would like my daughter to not get a second tattoo. She got a tattoo on her arm. It's a tattoo of her cat. I understand the relationship, but I don't understand the tattoo, and I don't want her to get another one. I need to be able to say to my 18-year-old whatever magic words I have to say as a father so that she does not get another one, especially that she doesn't go, oh, yeah, well, I'll show you. I can't afford that. Advice, please. 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. Live on Sunday night. Yes, 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 live. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Ben from Lost.
When did you start sleeping with a bottle of scotch by the bed?
When the nightmare started.
Yes, the nightmare of most radio on the air at this time. It's pre-recorded, it's boring, and it's inexcusable. This is a live radio show. It's not that hard to do, ladies and gentlemen. It is, if you focus in on KDKA, KFBK, you can decide to be live. WPHT in Philadelphia decided to be. In fact, we are a whole blanket of 50,000 watt and Class C FM radio stations. It's not that hard to do. It's just you say, you know what? We're going to actually commit the crime of radio. We're going to do it the best that we can. And we're going to go live. Keith Fons in Fairbanks, Alaska. Keith, I am shocked that you were not up to date on this particular story, so let me share it now because it's important to be up to date on this particular story. In Alaska, the renewables community had a meeting in Goldstream Valley and was surprised by the immediate antagonism toward their project, and their project was wind farms. Wind turbines off Murphy Dome. They believe that that's the right solution for Fairbanks. That's where you live. Permitting process should help figure all of that out. But this person who wrote this, they wrote this editorial, they wrote, but I know there's a problem we need to solve. Climate change is already having dramatic impact in Alaska and around the world. We all need to dramatically reduce carbon emissions. We could get there by using much less energy, probably the cheapest and best option. But if we're not willing to use less, then we need to reduce the impact of the energy we use and kill the whales. That's my bet. I'll bet you that's why the whales are in trouble all up and down the Jersey coast. The wind farms, the wind tunnels, the wind whatever they're called. How do you feel about this, Keith Fons, a resident of North Pole, Alaska? Keith Fons, is there any buzz about the need to have wind farms?
Well, I know they've been talking about it for years, especially out at the university. They're always trying to do more things that's better for the environment. Like here, the number one thing here is solar panels, which to me is weird because we only get major sunlight 3 months a year. Like right now, we're pretty much get a couple hours of sunlight a day, but they've pushed the solar panels and a lot of people have them. But as far as the wind farms, you know, I think that actually could be a good thing because we use a lot of electric here, like between our heaters and how cold it gets and how much electric, you know, it's dark 6 months of the year. So, of course, we use more electric than down in the lower 48 because we've got to be able to see in our houses. So, you know, I'm for, you know, a wind farm if it can help us save on our electric cost.
Do you know that those windmills, this is the weirdest thing about the power windmills, do you know that when it's very windy, they turn them off? Did you know that?
Wow, you figure that's when they would capitalize on all the energy.
Yes, you would. The problem is that when it's windy, they go too fast. And they're afraid of them breaking apart or burning out or short-circuiting all the circuitry. When they go too fast, it's as bad as them not going at all on the wind farms. Now, in Alaska, where it's dark almost all the time, do you think you have more sex than people in the lower 48 because it's dark all the time?
I would say, judging by how many kids people have, like we know a couple friends of ours, one has 10 kids, one has 7 kids and growing. And I would agree that, yeah, you know, it's cold, it's negative, it's dark, everybody stays home, they're pretty much homebodies. You know, so yeah, I could agree with that.
Now, do you have tattoos, Keith Fons, in Fairbanks, Alaska? Do you have tattoos?
I do. And unlike, yes, I have two. Both my arms are completely done. I got some on my back. I got one on my neck. I got one on my leg. But like your last guest said, you have to have meaning behind them. Like, for instance, on my left arm, our son, Keith Jr., when he turned 1 year old, I had him put his handprints on my arm with black ink, and then I went and had it tattooed. So I have his handprints on my arm. And then on my other arm, with a whole bunch of other tattoos, like my kids' names, I have one of our daughter's footprints when she was born tattooed on my arm. But it's not for everybody, but I will warn you that once somebody gets one tattoo, it's going to continue to happen. It's addictive, and it's the way I look at it, it's each person's choice. It's their personality. But at the same time, you do have to be cautious and know exactly what you're going to get imprinted on your body for the rest of your life.
Isn't the meaning of most tattoos is that you were loaded out of your mind, that you were drunk and insane on a Saturday night? Isn't that the meaning of most tattoos?
For some people, yeah. But for me personally, I don't drink. I don't get loaded. So it was always just the right moment, the right time, and something that means something to me. Like it comes from my heart.
Yeah. Don't you think that it should be illegal? It was against practices for a long time. Don't you think it should be illegal to get a tattoo on your face?
That, to me, is a little tacky. You know, to each their own, don't get me wrong. But personally, I would never get a face tattoo because that is something that people frown upon it. You know, you're not going to stay in the same profession for your whole life.
You're not going to have any profession if you have a face tattoo, except warden. Warden is the only profession you're going to have.
Right.
Right.
But, you know, all my tattoos, I can put a a shirt and tie on, and every one of my tattoos are covered up. And that's the way that I've always done it.
Keith Fawn's a very practical man. I hope you and your family have a terrific holiday, a terrific Thanksgiving. Thank you for being a very important part of Sterling on Sunday, but mostly thank you for all the social media promotion that you give Sterling on Sunday, because, again, it's embarrassing that I am the only host of a show that is live on Sunday night. Isn't that shocking, Keith? Thank you very much for your call. 888-688-WALT. My dilemma is, how do I prevent my daughter, my beautiful 18-year-old daughter, from getting a second tattoo? Now, coming up, I'm going to share with you the incredible story of how a sofa box, that's right, a box that a sofa came in, saved my career and saved a radio station. That's right, a sofa box. How this saved an entire radio station, I'll share with you coming up. Plus, the mistake I made with my Jersey mother when once I said, why don't we invite Aunt Martha to Thanksgiving? Still in therapy over this. You and I are live on Sunday night, 888-688-WALT. And hey, I want you to come to the French Riviera with me. Go to waltersterlingshow.com, scroll down to the picture, get the information. Sterling on Sunday.
Who was this man? What was he? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
An empty sofa box saved my career. Details coming up. Now, Dr. Dave and your weather.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
Get ready to stand behind an elderly person pulling out random change. Details later. People of Walmart, Sterling at night.
We have a police attack, a monkey attack, a nephew attack, and a dog gets baptized. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's all coming up on today's Florida Stories.
Las Vegas Raiders super fan and stripper gets banned. Details later. Strippers on the loose. Sterling at night.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I talk about one of my former partners, a 6'5", 350-pound Chinese detective who I affectionately named Bok Choi. And he referred to me as Lo Fan, which means evil white ghost. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight. And you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
In just seconds, I'm going to share with you the story about how a sofa box, an empty sofa box, saved my butt. I need your advice. How do I prevent the 18-year-old from getting a second tattoo? I didn't want her to get the first one. She didn't ask my permission. She showed it to us after the facts. 888-688-WALT. Good evening, Ted in Kansas City. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday Live.
How are you?
Ted, I'm an old man indoors. And you?
Well, I'm the same.
Thank you, sir. Congratulations. Congratulations.
There's two things I would suggest that you tell her. Number one, you don't put a bumper sticker on a Rolls Royce.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And number two, is your daughter religious at all? Does she go to church? Does she go to a Christian church or a Christian school?
She is a confirmed Catholic. She does not go to a Christian school. She goes to the State of New York school at Purchase.
All right. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 28 advises you not to have tattoos.
Thank you very much for the call, Ted. I understand. I appreciate that. And 888-688-WALT, never take off your glasses. Walter Joe in Philadelphia, welcome to Sterling on Sunday Live. Geno's or Pat's?
Walter.
Geno's or Pat's?
Oh, boy. I try to stay away from that stuff.
All right, so be a saint. I don't care. Go ahead.
You know, not much of a saint either. I wanted to I talk about my tattoo experience.
Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. You're pretty right on the about the alcohol. When I turned 16, I got my was standing in line to get my driver's license my 16th birthday, you know. So my ticket out of the house. And, me and my buddies, back, it was in the 60s. Our mindset, you know, is like, what I did was I drove straight to the bar.
Right. Now, listen, Joe, do you regret getting the tattoo? And thank you very much for your call. Do you regret getting the tattoo?
Not at all, because I had it removed.
Now, how painful was that?
Well, I was advised, but at the time, the doctor when I wasn't afraid of doctors back then. He gave me there was three choices. I could either have it. I could either have it sliced off.
No.
Or I could have it take it off with an operation, and then pull the skin together. I didn't like that either.
No, Joe, I don't like any of this, Joe. This is disturbing me very much. Thank you for your call, Joe. Thank you for listening to Sterling on Sunday. I want to share with you this story. This was a seminal story in my career and my life. I was listen carefully. This is how an empty sofa box saved my life on the busiest street in Manhattan at Thanksgiving time. I was working at 40th Street and Broadway, at 1440 Broadway, my first job in radio out of college. I had jobs before that in radio, but my first job out of college in radio was at WOR FM in New York City. At the time it was called 99X, but I will always call it WOR FM. And it was on the busiest street in Manhattan at Thanksgiving. It was this week. This is the busiest week in Manhattan. 40th Street and Broadway. And I was in the promotions department, and I was doing a Sunday talk show. I was the luckiest kid in the world. I was in the candy store at 20. I could not have been luckier, Randy. And this is what happened. We wanted to give away turkeys. We wanted to award turkeys. Now remember, empty sofa box, very key to this story. Busy street, critical to this story. Crazy busy street. We wanted to give away turkeys, 100 turkeys, to you. Call in, win, answer some stupid question, win a turkey, week before Thanksgiving. I go to a salesman. Now, there's trouble number one. Rather than going to the general manager or the sales manager, I went to a salesman. And I said to him, we want to give away 100 turkeys. Would you please arrange for us to get 100 turkeys? In my mind, I thought it was simple. I thought this was a simple event. This turned out to be the most complicated event of my career because it involved the morning man, Mike Phillips, who I have known since I was 20, Al Brady Law, the program director. These were legendary characters. WOR, unions, union porters, union truck drivers, and listeners. I learned everything I needed to know about unions, contest winners, and 40th Street in Manhattan at Thanksgiving time. But it was the empty sofa box that saved our butts. Coming up in just seconds, Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday. Inspired by Judge Judy.
You have nice people who invite you for Thanksgiving dinner a month in advance, and then you spring on them the morning that you're coming. We have to bring the dog. It's wonderful with babies. It's wonderful. It doesn't even bark. Do you understand? That's real gall. That's real gall. I'm saying this to the tens of millions of people who will watch this program in repeats, originals, whenever, when I'm long gone. If you're invited to someone's home for an event, and especially if it's a stranger, don't bring or ask to bring your dog.
Sterling on Sunday. I want to tell you this story. I want to share with you a story about when an empty sofa box saved my career. It was Thanksgiving week. It was a couple days before Thanksgiving, and I had said in New York City at the FM station that I worked at when I was 20. I was so lucky I got a job at this station. I'm 20 years old, just out of college. I'm working at this FM radio station in New York, WOR-FM 99X. But listen, maybe something like this had happened to you, that you actually trusted a salesperson to do something. Now, it's very hard to be a salesperson, but therefore you don't want to ask them to do any administrative task because you don't want them distracted from their real mission in life, which is to sell something. Imagine being a salesperson in radio where you have to sell ready air. They sell air. That's a tough job. I go to this sales guy. He's like the biggest BSer, and he's huge. And I said to him, I need 100 turkeys to give away. I'm working in the promotion department at this radio station where they make up the contests. And I say, I need 100 turkeys. Okay. That was like in October. On this day, Thanksgiving week, the receptionist calls me and says, there's a guy at the door for you. I go to the door of the radio station, to the lobby at this radio station. There's a large man in a uniform, a trucker's uniform. I have your turkeys. I said, what do you mean, my turkeys? I have your turkeys. I got turkeys in the truck downstairs. I'm like, what? What? He had 100 turkeys, frozen turkeys, on the busiest street in New York City, double parked at Thanksgiving time, 40th Street and Broadway. There could not have been a busier block because it was all loading docks. The whole street was loading docks, parking garages. It was the garment district, crazy busy. I go down there and I see that he has a truck with 100 frozen turkeys. Now, silly me, I didn't think I had to say to the salesperson, I need gift certificates. I need gift certificates for a turkey. At the time, the turkeys were maybe $15. That's all I needed. As I needed $115 gift certificates. Instead, he goes to a supermarket and barters with the supermarket chain for 100 frozen turkeys. I go back to him. I said, "What am I going to do? I can't take in 100 frozen turkeys. I needed gift certificates. You said you needed turkeys. I got you turkeys." The truck driver was not going to leave. All right. I go downstairs. Now, the sidewalks are about 15 feet wide on 40th Street in Manhattan. About 15 and packed. This is Thanksgiving week. The city is packed. It's alive. The tree has been put up in Rockefeller Center. The city is alive. I go down there and I say to the truck driver, okay, will you unload them? And one of the porters from the building on the loading dock will put them on a dolly and take it up to the radio station. I don't know what we're going to do then. I can't leave the truck. What do you mean you can't leave? I can't leave the truck. His union did not allow him to unload the truck. That was somebody else's job. His job was to drive the truck to the specific location, which was the back of WOR-FM at Christmas time. I look at the porters in the building, and I said to them, can you take the dolly to the truck, load up the dolly with turkeys? No. What do you mean, no? Our union doesn't allow us to leave the building. Neither the truck driver nor the porters could cross the sidewalk to take the turkeys from the truck, put it on a dolly, take it up to the second floor of the radio station. Well, that caused a problem. at the time, it was in the morning. So the morning man, Mike Phillips, my dear friend, colleague, mentor, instrumental in my career the rest of my life. But at the time, I was 20, and he was the morning man at an FM radio station in New York, a big deal. And the program director, a big deal. I looked at Al, and I said, we have to get the turkeys off the truck. What do you mean? We have to get the turkeys off the truck and bring them up here. Well, what are you talking about? And I explained the story. Mike Phillips, the morning man, Al Brady Law, the program director, and I go down to 40th Street at Thanksgiving time and take the turkeys one by one, daisy chain them across the sidewalk to the porter. The porter could take them once they were in the building, and he'd put them on the dolly. Okay, he put them on the dolly one by one, 100 turkeys. Morning man on an FM station in New York, program director, and myself. This bonded us for life. Those two guys became my closest friends in the industry for life. And it was because we had to transport 100 turkeys across the sidewalk at Thanksgiving. But, gee, that didn't really solve the problem now, did it? I had 100 frozen turkeys to take into the lobby of a radio station that did not have giant commercial freezers and refrigerators. But that day, Arthur Adler, the general manager, the guy who gave me my first job in radio out of college, had received a new sofa for his office. And the box for the sofa was the size of a sofa. And there it sat. And I'm like, we can put the turkeys into the sofa box. Let's put the turkeys into the sofa box. And we were two floors above a restaurant. What does every restaurant have? Dry ice. Dry ice. Now, I was worried about salmonella. I got all the dry ice I could from this restaurant, brought it up the two flights, put it into the sofa box, put the turkeys in there, and then got masking tape and duct tape and sealed that box to an inch of its life because I wasn't going to risk any thawing turkeys. But now we had another problem, didn't we? Mike Phillips and I, my close friend for the rest of my career, Al Brady Law, close friend for the rest of my career. Remember, this was quite a test of friendship, and I was 20. They owed me nothing. They could have screwed me. They could have fired me in 2 seconds. Why the hell didn't you get gift certificates? I didn't hear that. Blessedly, they blamed the salesman. They always blame the salesman. Programming people always, content people, product people always blame the salespeople, right? Any industry. But we had 100 contest winners, which meant that we couldn't ship them out. They had to come and get the turkeys. The station went out at least 50 miles. We had winners within a 50-mile circle. And we're asking them at Thanksgiving time to drive in to pick up the turkey, a $15 turkey. And I had to call 100 people and tell them that their frozen turkey was at 40th and Broadway at Thanksgiving week. And they needed to come in and pick up the turkey personally. And it was at that moment that I learned everything I needed to know about you and a prize. You ready? They had to drive in, which meant that the toll and the gas was at least $15. If they're out in Northwest Jersey, if they're in Connecticut, it's at least a $15 trip. They're gonna have to drive in and pick up their turkey. 100 listeners got in their cars and drove in Thanksgiving week to pick up a $15 frozen turkey. There was not one turkey left. And nobody, no listener who won the turkey was mad. Nobody was mad. Nobody was mad. They all drove in to get their life event. Winning a prize from a radio station is a life event. And I'm not saying that in a pejorative way. I'm saying, isn't that wonderful? And, gee, how come more people who claim to be in radio don't understand that giving away prizes is a life event? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what the prize is. This was a perishable frozen turkey at Thanksgiving week. So I miss Al Brady Law, who passed away, and I miss Mike Phillips, who was a great programmer and executive and a dear, dear, dear friend and a terrific morning man. But mostly, they taught me the power of grace at Thanksgiving. Both of them were big shots. They could have been jerks. And instead, they were on 40th Street in 20-degree weather, daisy-chaining frozen turkeys for contest winners because the sales guy didn't get gift certificates. God bless him. I'm Walter Sterling. This is Sterling on Sunday. We're having a great time on a Sunday night. We're having a great time a couple days before Thanksgiving. And coming up, you and I are going to talk about the time that I made the mistake of saying to my mother, let's invite Aunt Martha for Thanksgiving. Sterling on Sunday. More than when a dog jumps up on me and says, and the owner says, oh, the dog likes you. That means it likes you. Yeah, but I don't like your dog. I don't care what the dog is. I don't like your dog. Coming up in just seconds, you and I are going to find out how to deal with the stress of holidays. Not a PSA, something practical. Plus, the time I invited Aunt Martha to dinner just to annoy my mother. Dr. Dave, weather.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
Get ready to stand behind an elderly person pulling out random change. Details later. People of Walmart, Sterling at night.
We have a police attack, a monkey attack, a nephew attack, and a dog gets baptized. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's all coming up on today's Florida Stories.
Las Vegas Raiders superfan and stripper gets banned. Details later, strippers on the loose, Sterling at night.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I talk about one of my former partners, a 6'5", 350-pound Chinese detective who I affectionately named Bok Choi, and he referred to me as Lo Fan, which means evil white ghost. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
Good evening. Dr. Christopher Macklin. Dr. Christopher Macklin is going to give us the answer to what we want most, the holidays. How do we stay balanced, calm, and deal with stress without scotch? Dr. Macklin, how do we do that?
Hi, Walter. In this world, it's very hard. I mean, with the clients I work with, about 130 this week, one-to-one sessions, I work with a lot more, you know, general groups, but I've found that the mental health of people is really in decline, especially this week. It's been the toughest week I've had. And I think it's because people are coming to a precipice where, you know, the economy's really bad. There's the separation of families. They've driven a wedge between families, vax versus no vax, mask versus no mask. You know, there's all sorts of transgender things going on, you know, BLM, Antifa. There's so many things, you know, terrorist organizations. And, you know, my belief is that, you know, what we need to do for the holidays is really take a step out of all that and really worry about, you know, what's happening in your immediate family, your people who hold the space for you, and start looking at things that you can have fun with, because the most simple things you can bring massive joy, like cooking a beautiful meal at home, putting down the phones. You know, people are on their phone and they have family meals and everyone's texting each other. I'm thinking, wow, you know. I was looking at a meme today in the 1970s versus now. It said 1970s, everyone's there talking. It said 2003, and everyone's at the table with their phone. So let's think about putting them away and let's start communicating. Now, I know a lot of people have issues with you know, other people's narratives, but, you know, I always go back to, you know, there's never any right or wrong. If someone has a narrative from their perspective, from, say, a mainstream media or the BBC or something, then let them have that. You know, don't judge them for that because they don't know any better. You know, I have a different narrative on things because I've done investigation, I've been with scientists. And so, you know, but who's right or wrong? I told my father this and, you know, I said, nobody's right or wrong, you know, but don't judge, you know. It goes back, I'm not a Christian, but it goes back to Jesus' teachings. And it's important to take a step back. Don't get triggered by things. And if you feel anxiety coming on, breathe, you know, take some deep breaths and breathe it out over 7 seconds. And that really helps you relax.
Deep breaths, in and out, 7 seconds. What is the best way to get in touch with Dr. Christopher Macklin? What is the best way to get in touch with you?
Just to go to our website, which is globalenlightenmentproject.com.
Globalenlightenmentproject.com. We've discussed this before, Dr. Macklin. You need a new web address. Globalenlightenmentproject.com. That's exhausting right there. Thank you very much for being on Sterling on Sunday, Dr. Macklin. Thank you. Walter M. Sterling, good evening. Coming up in just seconds, I'm going to share with you the terrible mistake I made at Thanksgiving a few years ago with my mom by inviting the forbidden relative, Sterling, on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Sniper Wolf.
Hello, friends, it's me. Yes, I cut my hair. TikTok saw it first. I always wanted to cut my hair, so I did.
OnlyFans influencer. OnlyFans, by the way, if you're not familiar, it's basically like a strip club online. Her name is Danny. And Danny loves herself the Las Vegas Raiders. So she went to the Raiders game. And quite frankly, it created a lot of excitement. So what did Danny do? She decided to flack her upper torso, her chest area, to celebrate the wonders of the Las Vegas Raiders. Danny Banks, really popular, and this gal, she wants everyone to know what a great person she is and how much she loves the team. Banned. Apparently banned for life now from Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas. I thought whatever happened in Vegas stayed in Vegas. I thought everything was cool in Vegas. Call me shocked. From the digital champagne room, it's Strippers on the Loose. I'm Vilo Houle, Sterling at Night.
Coming up, you and I are going to hear the amazing story of how I played the ponies with Rosalind Carter. That's coming up. Plus, the mystery is solved. How long does the food stay fresh in my kid's lunchbox? These are the things I want to know about. My mother was a Jersey mom. And a real Jersey mom. Hey, you have that cut of Carmela Soprano. Play that at the end of this story, all right? But first, let me tell you this story. My mother was a Jersey mom, and that means I grew up in a matriarchy. Everybody who grew up in the state of New Jersey grew up in a matriarchy. I've never understood this well. You know, women should be in charge. Women should be chairman of the board. Any woman I've ever known growing up or later has been in charge. I don't know who these other women are, but I've predominantly worked for women, hired women, paid women more than men, and I was raised by women. My mother was a great cook. She was not a chef. She was a great cook. She could take the Betty Crocker recipe book and make one little tweak, one little adjustment, and the recipe would come out better than any other mom. She was a great cook and a great mom. Well, I don't know. Why am I coughing? I don't know. We had an aunt. You've had an aunt or uncle like this, the strange aunt or uncle. They're not criminally strange. They're just strange. Probably they don't have children. Adults who don't have children don't quite know the rhythm of having a relationship with kids. Relatives, nieces, nephews, they're always a little off. They don't quite get it. And therefore, it's uncomfortable for the parents to have them around, and it's uncomfortable for the kids because the kids don't quite know what to say. They won't, that aunt or uncle won't know the cartoons, the video games, the references they're making, the slang. They'll just, it's always a little off, and they dress formally. They dress better than your parents. Now, my Aunt Martha was a smart woman, but she had the quirks of a person who didn't have children. She had two cars. She lived alone. She had two cars. She had the new Oldsmobile and the old Oldsmobile. The old Oldsmobile was for driving around in town. The new Oldsmobile was for the highway. And my Aunt Martha was a successful woman. She was on the board of directors of a bank, owned two beauty salons, had money, a nice, clean, immaculate house, an accomplished woman, but she was strange. And she would say what came to her mind, a Jersey woman. Thanksgiving's coming up. I said to my mother, are we going to invite Aunt Martha? Silence. Shouldn't we invite Aunt Martha? And I'm like 12, 13. And I'm thinking big. I'm thinking of the whole family getting together. Shouldn't we invite Aunt Martha? Now, when a kid says to the mom, shouldn't we invite a relative? The mom has a problem. Because at that point, the mom almost has to say yes, or else the mom has created a crime in the family. Has ostracized a member of the family in front of the kids and runs a high risk of the next time that relative shows up, one of the kids shooting off their mouth and saying, well, my mother didn't want you here for Thanksgiving. That's a high risk with kids, right? Because you see, Aunt Martha would say something about that meal. And let me stipulate, my mother was a great cook. There would be nothing wrong with the meal, which would consist of a juicy, moist turkey, mashed potatoes with a lot of butter, carrots, string beans, ambrosia. Do you remember ambrosia? The Jell-O mold called ambrosia, which in my house was orange Jell-O with cream in it, and mandarin orange slices chilled from the can. There's a great Jersey dish. Are you staying with me here? You got it? That was our Thanksgiving, and then pecan pie, which my mother would make and was light. How she did it, I don't know. Usually pecan pie is just way too heavy. Whatever good taste there is, it's ruined by the fact that it's like a thick candy. But my mother somehow or another made it light. The filling was light and delicious, and pumpkin pie and apple pie. That was our Thanksgiving. That is what Thanksgiving is supposed to be. Calvin Trillin said, Thanksgiving should be spaghetti carbonara. Everybody loves spaghetti carbonara. We were founded by Columbus, an Italian or something. And nobody really likes turkey. Calvin Trillin made a very good case in his book called Alice Let's Eat, a native of Kansas City. He said it should be spaghetti carbonara. All right. Well, anyway, we had turkey. My mother said, she looked at me, she said, fine, you call her, you invite her. She sits next to you. And if she says one critical thing, you are washing every single dish. Okay. And Martha comes. We loved her because she gave each kid $10 bill. I'm happy. I got a $10 bill. I got a week of good humor right there. She sits down. Her arms always kept moving. She had waddle on her arms, and when she sat down, it kept moving. Always wore a doily dress, heavy doilies around the neck, like the nun of the suburbs. But of course she wasn't a nun. But like the nun of the suburbs, doily on her neck, on her arms, the waddle going, sitting down. Oh, it's very nice. You know, how are you? Oh, my God. All right, now we eat the dinner with Aunt Martha. My mother's watching me with those eyes, with the mother eyes, right? She's watching me. Now we're done. My father, who was the one who was related to Aunt Martha in some way, I don't remember, says, well, did you enjoy dinner, Martha? Did you enjoy dinner? Martha, long pause, looks at the table and says, well, the turkey was a little dry. My mother looks at me like she won. My mother won. and she said, in this voice, in the voice of Carmela Soprano, in this voice, Sean, Carmela Soprano.
You have made a fool of me for years with these whores.
In that voice. Play that again, Sean. Now we're going to do it tight. Play it. No, we're not. Okay, forget it. We need carts, analog carts. And I need a computer to play that stuff myself. My mother looks at me and she says, well, in the kitchen alone, when we're alone, she goes, well, I guess you're doing all the dishes, which was significant. Gravy boat, turkey serving tray. I was doing all the dishes because Aunt Martha said the turkey was a little dry. That is why it is very important to never listen to a 12 or 13-year-old with their suggestions as to who should come to Thanksgiving dinner. Should never take that suggestion. I'm Walter M. Sterling. Good evening. I hope you have a good Thanksgiving week. But remember, you're a volunteer. There's no whining about who's at dinner or that you have to go this place you don't want to go or next year we'll do it. Next year we'll have the Thanksgiving ourselves. That is the recurrent theme of most people driving back from wherever they went for Thanksgiving. Next year we're doing it ourselves. Well, you could do it yourself this year. You don't have to go at all. Over the age of 18, we are volunteers. We have signed up for resentments and misery in a way that's unique to human beings. Squirrels do not do this. Squirrels do not dine with other squirrels they have no interest in. Do you think a squirrel wakes up and goes, no, I'm just going to look for my nuts today? And by the way, squirrels often cannot find the nuts they've hidden. They have a whole different existential problem you and I can't even begin to imagine. I know what I want to do, though. I want to send you a holiday card, and I want to go to the French Riviera with you. There are two ways to get information about the French Riviera. It's easy. Go to Walter Sterling Show. Scroll till you see the picture of the French Riviera and click on the link. Get the information. The trip's not till next October. Why not find out about it? Find out about it now because it's a limited number of people coming with me and Katie next October to the French Riviera. But it's a trip that I've designed carefully with Colette Travel. I've built this trip carefully to my own whimsical laziness. One hotel, not 10 hotels. One hotel. You do what you want. You see the things you want in Aix, Nice, Saint-Tropez, Monaco. It's the best time, best vacation I ever have. I want you to join me. Go to Walter Sterling Show, scroll down to the picture of the beach, and click on the link.
Who was this man? What was it? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
You'll need your Midnight Misfit decoder card. I will have a secret message for you, but you'll need a decoder card to decipher the message. You get it at waltersterlingshow.com. You click Midnight Misfits, sign up. Get the decoder card. You can print it out right now. It's free. It's a beautiful card. It explains what a misfit is and what they do. Dr. Dave, weather.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
Get ready to stand behind an elderly person pulling out random change. Details later. People of Walmart, Sterling at night.
We have a police attack, a monkey attack, a nephew attack, and a dog gets baptized. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's all coming up on today's Florida Stories.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I talk about one of my former partners, a 6'5", 350-pound Chinese detective who I affectionately named Bok Choi, and he referred to me as Lo Fan, which means evil white ghost. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
You're a dinosaur, Sipowicz.
I'm a dinosaur.
You jeopardize that collar because it sticks in your throat on first grade.
It sticks in my throat how you got it.
Every white guy in the department with second grade thinks he should have gotten my grade promotion. Half of you guys think I got it on my back.
Hey, Walter. On this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I'd like to tell a story about one of my former partners. So while I was a detective, I worked for a short time with a 6'5", 300-pound Chinese guy who I used to call Bok Choy, my humble Asian sidekick. And in turn, he would call me Lo Fan, which I believe means evil white ghost. And we had a lot of court appearances in Manhattan, which meant we had to cut through Chinatown. And we'd be walking through this park where you would have, you know, these elderly Chinese people practicing Tai Chi, and they'd be having conversations. And sometimes it would be a heated argument. So one time I saw two Chinese men arguing, and I said, Bok Choy, what are they talking about? And he listens and he goes, that guy is late for work. If he does it again, he's going to get fired. Another time I saw two females arguing, and I says, what are they talking about? And he says, that one over there, she says that other woman is paying too much attention to her husband. So he goes, Lo Fan, if you want to know Cantonese so much, go get Rosetta Stone. So we used to always give each other a hard time. So one day my lieutenant said to me, hey, tell Bok Choy he's got to make a couple of arrests this month. I said, no problem. So I told him about it. He goes, yeah, when something comes up. So one day, it's probably about 4 o'clock. It's getting later in the day. We're in the Bronx driving around. And I says, who wants coffee? So it was me, Bok Choy, and another guy, and they said, yeah, we'll get coffee. I said, all right, stop over here. There was a Dunkin' Donuts in the Bronx, and I says, I'll run in. I'll get it. I walk into this Dunkin' Donuts, and there's a Chinese guy sitting at a table drinking a coffee, and he's got a big piece of luggage, a big suitcase. And as I'm walking into the Dunkin' Donuts, he holds up a DVD of Jackass 2, which hadn't even been released yet, or if it had, it had just come out like a day or two before, and he goes, Jackass, Jackass 2, for you. Now, obvious, there's no way this thing is went to DVD already. It's a pirated DVD. I says, hold that thought. So I go back out to the car, and Bok Choy goes, where's the coffee? I says, no coffee. I says, one of your countrymen's inside, and he's trying to sell me a bogus pirated DVD, and he's got a suitcase full of them. He goes, you got to be kidding me. So me, the other detective, and Bok Choy go into the Dunkin' Donuts, and the guy does it again, Jackass 2. So we started laughing. We threw the cuffs on him. We brought him into the station house. And believe it or not, they take that very seriously, pirating DVDs. And if you ever put in a DVD or a VHS, it says in the very beginning, warning, piracy is illegal. Well, they really, they'll go after you. And we had to make a phone call to the American Picture Association of America. And they sent a representative down. He was a retired detective doing security for him. And they come down, they look at the pirate DVDs. They say, yes, that's not our watermark. These things are copyright infringement, and the guy went to jail. So be sure to check out my new book, NYPD Law and Disorder.
Dave Scott, our expert on all things outer space. Now, Dave Scott, apparently this is the 25th anniversary of the International Space Station being launched into space. What do you think has been the most important UFO-related information relative to the International Space Station, Dave?
A number of years ago, there was a Russian cosmonaut who was staring out at Earth, just minding his own business, having a little shot of vodka and maybe some snails as a snack. And he puts his camera up because he sees some weird lights. What does he see? He actually filmed and released on social media a triangle of lights, much like what was seen in 1997 in the Phoenix Lights. This is probably some of the most fascinating footage that I have seen from the International Space Station. But as you know, and we got into it a couple of weeks ago, Walter, NASA is known for their cover-ups, where every time something seems to get close to the station, their 24-hour live feed just seems to cut for some unknown reason. It seems to have technical errors that we can't see what's flying by, whether it's disks, whether it's orbs, whether it's black triangles.
What do you think the black triangles are? Because they were seen over Phoenix. They're seen outside of the International Space Station. The cosmonaut posted it on social media. It doesn't seem that the Russian government has any trouble disclosing this information. What do you think the triangles are?
Oh, Walter, can I get real deep into the woo and tinfoil here for a second, if you don't mind?
Into that tinfoil. Go.
Okay. I believe they are part of the United States of America secret space program called the TR-3B. I asked an insider one day about these craft, and he said, don't talk to me about them. I asked another insider about these craft. I said, where would they, hypothetically, where would they park? He goes, what if they don't land? And they're always up there. These TR-3Bs have been known or suspected to deliver people, scientists, military, up to bases on the moon, up to bases on the Mars. And I believe these are real craft that can hold anywhere from 100 to 500 people and be as silent as a cat waiting to pounce.
What is the purpose of keeping them secret, since this is remarkable technology? This is a remarkable capability. And the major reason I believe you is the fact there has been no significant space program for 50 years. All of a sudden, now there's some noise and interest, and the space station wasn't really ours. But 50 years of nothing. Therefore, I believe there has been a secret space program, because it makes no sense that there would be 50 years of nothing. But why would we keep this a secret, Dave Scott?
Well, I think that they want to militarize the moon in case Russia or China get out of hand. They want to have a complete control of what is happening in space, because if the space pirates, a.k.a. the countries that us NORAD and NATO people don't like, decide to take it seriously and get up on the moon, we want to make sure that they have no chance of actually taking over something in outer space, which could wreck spy satellites, missile satellites, and anything that could really defend North America. It has nothing to do with aliens.
Now, Dave Scott happens to be Canadian. Therefore, he has already had Thanksgiving, haven't you?
I have, a month ago, yes.
And what do you celebrate Thanksgiving? The landing of what?
Oh, my goodness. We celebrate just being Canadian, whatever that means these days, and everything that's good. And you know what's good around Thanksgiving, Walter?
What's
hockey
that?
Season begins.
Okay, Dave Scott, how do I reach you during the week?
SpacedOutRadio.com, my friend, and we'll talk to you next week.
You're the best. Thank you very much, Dave Scott. Good evening. You are a misfit. And coming up in just seconds, I'm going to share with you a secret message that you can only decode with your Midnight Misfit Decoder card. Get it right now. Download it right now for free. WalterSterlingShow.com. Plus, I'm going to answer the mystery of all times. We're going to get the information we all want to know. How long is the kids' lunch safe in their lunchbox? Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Ashley Benson.
The last time I lied, I had plans and I canceled them. And I just said I was very sick, and I wasn't, but I was also, you know, that happens.
Walmart is the world's largest billing company. Yeah, the world. More people give their money to Walmart than anyone else. Self-checkout, so convenient. I love it. You go through self-checkout, you don't have to put up with people yakking with the cashier. You don't have to put up with the 90-year-old who seemingly has $40 in random change in his pocket as he's busy trying to find 83 cents. No, you're able to go through, pay with your debit on your way out the store. But unfortunately, people are not as honest as I am. There's a lot of criminals. And of course, we've chronicled on People of Walmart, people who have gone in and used self-checkout as a way to steal from the store. Well, apparently the theft is becoming so big at self-checkout, Walmart's rethinking it. Yeah, they may have to hire people, may have to pay them $25 an hour, because it actually would allow that company to make more money. Self-checkout, yeah, it is an absolute disaster for Walmart. And as a Walmart shareholder, I want to say thank you. Thank you very much. Now, I will miss self-checkout. My guess is it's only going to be in certain stores where they have a lot of shoplifting. And believe me, Walmart knows how much shoplifting is happening per store per day. They have it all worked out because you are on candid camera every time you go in and out of Walmart. For the people of Walmart, this is Velo Hool, Sterling at Night.
Eddie Valdez, Charlie Green, Jim Cardacci, Frankie Red, Jim Kelly. Good evening. You are the Midnight Misfits. What is that hum? We have a strange hum. I'm sure that's my fault. There you go. Nate Tester, Annie Knupp, Judith J.G., who I have not heard enough from, Rebecca Canner. Hello, Rebecca. Catherine A., Rosemary Furlong, and her mom. These are the Midnight Misfits. You can be one, too. All you have to do is go to Walter Sterling Show, WalterSterlingShow.com, and click Midnight Misfits. It's one of those tabs up at the top there. Register, get your card so that you can decipher the secret message I'm about to give you now. Ready? Write it down, Neil Paul. Here we go. Z, 4, the number 1, the letter K, L, 4, and the number 3. Shall we do that once more? Where's that thing? Why is that making that hum? You know, you'd think this was a big network radio show. Oh, it is! Oh, my gosh. Every time I get near it, it gets worse. How unprofessional. Z4. The number 1. The letter K. L. 4-3. There's your secret message. Welcome. This is Sterling on Sunday. Colette Travel. I have often talked about the fact that I got engaged in Monaco. I knelt in the Mediterranean like the baptism of fire. I knelt in the Mediterranean and asked Katie to marry me. It was a beautiful, magnificent day, and I loved the south of France ever since. Who doesn't love the Riviera? It's not that far. If you live in Sacramento, getting to the French Riviera is no longer a distance than, you know, if you fly coast to coast. This is a 9-day all-inclusive trip where you and I are going to see Nice, Ez, Monaco, Saint-Tropez. But I was very fussy. When they called me up and they said, listen, we would like to put together a trip for you and Midnight Misfits to Monaco, to the south of France, to the French Riviera, I said, well, I don't want some tour that's already in your book. I want to put together a special trip for Midnight Misfits for introverts that are unique, that's unique, that we can really enjoy. And the first thing I wanted was I didn't want to move around too much. Therefore, when we go to Nice, we're going to stay in one hotel. We're going to dine at the best restaurants. We're going to see unique, fun things on the French Riviera. We're going to have a relaxing, actual vacation. Now, over the next few weeks, you and I are going to spend a lot of time and money worrying about how to make other people happy with gifts. But the bottom line is, my friend, you and I deserve a trip just for us. We deserve a treat. We have earned it. Look at our lives. Look at what we've done for relatives, for friends, for employers. We deserve pampering and a special time just for ourselves. With other people that are, you know, we don't always fit in. And that's the best part of it. That's why you and I enjoy each other on the radio, because we're not normal. This isn't normal. Go to WalterSterlingShow.com. Scroll down till you see the picture of the Mediterranean, the beautiful shoreline in Nice, and click link here and get the information. Just get the information. You don't want to do that? Fine. Send me an email. WalterMSterling@gmail.com. WalterMSterling@gmail.com. And I will send you a beautiful custom brochure that they have made just for this trip, that Colette Travel has made just for this trip based on the specs that I gave them for you and me. You'll see my beautiful picture and a picture of me and Katie in Monaco when the moments after we got engaged. You'll see that photograph. It's in this brochure. That's how you know this brochure is just for us. I need your real mailing address. And if you do that, I'll send you a real holiday card. WalterMSterling@gmail.com. WalterMSterling@gmail.com. Or go to the website. Look for the picture. Click on it. Get the information. I want to make this as easy as possible. And we got time. It's not till next October. We don't have a lot of slots. I didn't want some huge trip, right? Select number of Midnight Misfits will be joining Katie and myself. I hope it's you, because I've wanted to meet you. I've tried all sorts of ways to figure out how to get together. And there's always some problem. There's always some trouble. But you and I are introverts. And people don't look at introverts the normal way. Hey, Sean, do you have that thing marked introvert? Play that, the one that's marked introvert. This is how we're looked at.
Stay home all weekend, and I'm going to be happy about it. I'm an introvert. I'm going to be excited when you cancel plans. I'm an introvert. I'm going to find the nearest dog at the party, and I'm going to pet it the whole time. I'm an introvert. I'm going to awkwardly follow you around because I don't want to talk to people I don't know. I'm an introvert. I'm going to ask you who's all going and then get sick the day of if you say a name that I don't recognize. I'm an introvert. I'm going to have a party and I'm going to invite three people. I'm an introvert. I'm going to spend the entire night reading a book in bed and I'm going to call it a plan. I'm an introvert. I'm going to download a dating app, match with someone, and never look at the app again. I'm an introvert. I'm going to get asked why I'm so quiet. I'm an introvert. I'm going to observe quietly while everyone else fights over each other to speak. I'm an introvert. I'm going to complain about not having friends, but then never want to hang out with anyone. I'm an introvert. I'm going to see that you're calling, let the call ring all the way through, and then text you and ask you what you want. I'm an introvert. When I see someone that I know in public, I'm going to avoid them like the plague. I'm an introvert.
That's why you and I work now. That's why you and I are up now. We get to be alone. Good evening, Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by TikTok.
Boy math is when they need to leave the house by 5 o'clock. So at 4:59, they're literally ready to go. Like, they're literally ready. They just need to hop in the shower super quick. But other than that, they're literally ready to go.
Sterling on Sunday. Now, 7 good minutes.
Chef Rich has the best job in the world. He's a chef. He believes a successful day is when everybody comes back to the kitchen with clean plates, and he works for Volrath. Volrath is a company that works on a commercial level with restaurants, cafeterias, food supply chains. It's a major national corporation, but the most interesting thing to me about Chef Rich and Volrath is it is a woman-owned company. Is that right, Chef Rich? It's a woman-owned company. How long has Volrath existed?
We are in business now 150 years this year, as a matter of fact, and we are owned by the sixth generation, I believe, of our founder, with generation seven up and coming. So we are family owned and currently by two sisters. Correct.
Many companies are making the bizarre mandate that you have to come back into the building to do your job. And that means two things. One is that I have to confront the refrigerator at work, or I have to go to the cafeteria at work, which has salad bars. The invisible horrors that you and I face when I go to a cafeteria. What are some of the things I need to know about a salad bar that are a way to protect myself or maybe just avoid altogether, Chef?
You want to give it an assessment as you're walking up. You can tell a lot about the chef and how they run their operation by looking at that salad bar. Do they have someone maintaining it? Yeah, are the utensils that are in it clean? Are they changed often? Are the containers arranged properly? So a little thing to think about is, are the bigger items that you can easily grab, say, with a tong in the back so that we can pick them up and bring them and put them on our plate? Or are the things like cheese and peas where there's an opportunity for them to spill as we're bringing them across the items in the front? So those are things that we look at. Touch points, anything that we touch is an area that we want to kind of look at and make sure is clean.
There's a difference between the salad bar at noon and the salad bar at 3 p.m.
Right.
At 3 p.m., what are the things that I need to be particularly careful about?
You're going to see, are there things that have been dropped in it? Are there things that has it been frozen? Certain salad bars don't do a good job of maintaining food quality. We're blowing air across the food to try to keep it cold, or we're freezing the rails to keep it cold. So that can freeze and degrade the food. and then blowing air over it can dry it out. So your gut and your instincts are your best guide. You will see some things that have been contaminated by other things falling into it. Again, those front things in the front, those are where you want to look to make sure that they're clean and made sure that they've changed out the utensils, that they're not full of the food, right? The top of the utensil that you're touching.
Sliced meat, sliced ham, sliced turkey that's sitting in a warm bed.
Oh, no good. Absolutely not.
Why?
Well, food is meant to be cold. Cold food must be kept cold below 41 degrees is the NSF standard. National Sanitation Foundation gives us standards, and you have to adhere to them. But sometimes it's hard, again, because of, think about ceiling fans. Think about windows. Think about sunlight. Think about heat ducts. All these things can play into rising the temperature of items on the salad bar. So meats, anything that's a perishable item like that, definitely have to be careful of.
So you'd recommend that when I come to a salad bar, I eat cold stuff?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Even eggs, even hard-boiled eggs?
Some things are better than others, of course, right? We know that certain vegetables will last a little bit longer than others. And things that are highly perishable, the meats, the mayonnaise items, obviously, proteins in general. Watch out for those, correct, as you look at that late in the day especially.
Should I ever look into the kitchen in a Chinese restaurant?
No. There's a lot of restaurants, though. I will tell you, I've been in the industry a long time, and kitchen doors are a good thing. There's a lot of restaurants that are run very well, don't get me wrong. But I think I've been surprised by some that could be better and some of the things I've seen. So the more we can be transparent with guests, and that's some of the trend I think we're seeing is food in the front, right? We're seeing chefs come out and prepare things out in the dining space. We're seeing food presented, such as a salad bar, in the front of the house. So you can see the product. You can see how it's being handled.
Tell me about the Ballworth Company. This is a major food service equipment supplier. Share with me some of the innovations at Ballworth, some of the things you're very proud to say, hey, I work at Ballworth. We know what we're talking about.
We're very proud of the products we make. We like to say we make products that work. So we've got a full range of items. Now, we are a company that sells to another business, and then that business will sell to restaurants. So induction is a new technology. As we look at gas being eliminated in more and more areas, induction.
How stupid is that? As a chef? Don't you hate electric stoves? Admit it.
I don't like electric, but I love induction, which is electric, because we have control. We have repeatability. Our ServeU, it's a new product we have. It is an item that is that vertical salad bar. And what we've done is we've taken a four-well salad bar space and we've made it vertical. And we have taken the items from the salad bar. We've taken those same items that we can put in a 48-inch salad bar in a cylinder now that is in our unit. It's in a clear cylinder that you can see the product. It's behind glass doors, that it's safe. It's at a proper temperature. It's maintained beautifully, and each one of those products has its own chute that the product is dispensed through. So you walk up to this beautiful-looking vertical salad bar. Now you can see the products in these cylinders, and then you have a sensor. If you take your bowl and you put it underneath the first cylinder, you can fill from that cylinder. You go to the next one. The sensor sees that your bowl is there and dispenses product into your bowl from that cylinder. 8 different cylinders of unique product that we have now available in this ServeU salad bar system.
I'm really curious about this. Where can I see this?
There's YouTube. There's on our website is probably the easiest place to go. It's Ballworth.com. And we have, if you search ServeU, S-E-R-V-U-E, we have a lot of videos. We have some great photos of it out there. And you can get a sense of exactly how this thing works.
I wish you a happy Thanksgiving. So thank you very much, Chef Rich. Thank you for being on Sterling on Sunday. Promotional with Ballworth, pre-recorded. Now, I asked Chef Rick, how long can I put food in a lunchbox for my kid? And the answer is 4 hours. It's 4 hours that it's reasonable to expect food to stay fresh with an ice pack in a lunchbox for my kid. All right, this is Sterling on Sunday, 888-688-WALT. My Midnight Misfits welcome D. Wells, Ben White, Jane Hottenton, Charlie Green, oh, and Keith Mortensen. Now, Keith was an 18-wheeler, and he just retired, and he's driving around the country looking for a retirement home. But what I don't understand, Keith Mortensen, is why do you continue to drive around the country now that you're retired from having driven an 18-wheeler? This seems like a tremendous amount of work. Now you're retired. You don't have to do any of that. All right, coming up in just seconds, you and I will talk about our amazing trip to the French Riviera, and I hope you can come. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by lesbians.
So, how long have you been in the States?
2 years.
Why do you move here?
Seemed like a good idea at the time.
Sterling on Sunday. Now, 4 good minutes.
Dr. Latefi, it is an honor to have you on Sterling on Sunday because my 11-year-old, who my listener knows well, my 11-year-old has been home with a cold for 3 days. Could you please tell me how to prevent the cold in my 3 children?
To prevent getting a cold, good sleep, good nutrition. People think vitamin C and zinc, but that won't actually help you get better once you have a cold. It's best to take them on a regular basis to help arm your body and to take medicines that actually work, that will help us on our healing journey and help our body to rebuild itself.
About 10 years ago, for the first and only time, I fainted in my living room. Passed out. I go to Beth Israel, to the ER Beth Israel, and I walk in and my blood pressure is 200 over 100 and my blood sugar is 300. And the real doctor comes in. You know, each ER has one real doctor, not the practice doctors, not the really interesting doctors who you might want to date, but the real doctor walks in. He takes one look at me and he reads me those numbers. With those numbers, how come I'm not dead? He said, you will be. And then he said, you took Sudafed.
Oh, my God.
He said, you will take Sudafed again. Never. And that's what sent me to the ER. So there's an ingredient in Sudafed and other cold remedies that appears to be harmful. What is that ingredient?
That ingredient is phenylephrine and pseudoephedrine. And Sudafed works, and a lot of these other ingredients as well, actually don't do anything to address the respiratory issues that you're having. But what's phenylephrine and pseudoephedrine that are in Sudafed specifically do is they constrict your blood vessels. So when you get congested, you have a dilation of blood vessels, which is a natural response that your body has because it's trying to flush out the virus that's attacking you. So when you get congested, the actual best thing to do is to drink a lot of fluids, especially hot ones, and blow your nose.
Next question. There are foods that I should eat or could eat that, in your opinion, will make me overall healthier and more capable of combating things like colds. What are some of those foods that I should focus on and try to include into my diet?
At the forefront, I really think is having healthy fats. So avoiding omega-6 fatty acids, which unfortunately are the ones that are used in most restaurants, and they're soybean oil, what's called vegetable oil, which is basically a blend of soybean oil and corn oil. But the good ones are coconut oil, olive oil, avocado oil. These are the ones that are not as rich in the omega-6 profile. But main thing also is getting omega-3s, which are found in fish.
Tell me about the product that you work on and that you represent and that we can purchase from you.
We produce BioManta. We have a dietary supplement as well as an over-the-counter drug. We manufacture it to the highest standards. We have third-party verification of all our ingredients. We have been researching this for over 10 years. We use a unique formula of ingredients that work with your body to rebuild your respiratory system and to help your respiratory lining defend itself.
Please tell me the name of the company and how to directly get in touch with the opportunity to secure some of those products.
Applied Biological Laboratories, but we are better known under our product, which is BioManta.
BioManta. V-A-N-T-A.
Yeah, BIOVANTA, biological advantage. We are on social media. We're on Instagram, our website, Twitter, and you can find a lot of information there.
You're very impressive. The fact that I can pronounce your name is something I think I should get an award for. And I appreciate your time today. Thank you very, very much for being on Sterling on Sunday.
America was preparing for Thanksgiving just a week away.
This happy holiday will be just a little better this year.
Then, shock.
Three shots reportedly were fired at the motorcade of President Kennedy today.
I see Mrs. Kennedy's pink suit. There's a Secret Service man, spread eagle, over the top of the car.
At school, teachers were crying. The principal sent us home early. Mom had been watching as the world turns when the news broke.
Here is a bulletin from CBS News. In Dallas, Texas, three shots were fired at President Kennedy's motorcade in downtown Dallas. The first reports say that President Kennedy has been seriously wounded by this shooting.
Word spread quickly.
You could tell it the way the cars suddenly pulled over to the curb, the radios blaring.
The first shot rang out, and I was positive when I saw the look on his face and saw him grab his chest and saw the reaction of his wife that he had been shot.
Soon, the worst was confirmed.
The president, ladies and gentlemen, is dead at Parkland Hospital in Dallas.
Those 4 days are like a blur. First Kennedy, then LBJ became president. The shock of Oswald being shot on live TV.
Yeah, there is Lee Oswald.
He's been shot. He's been shot.
The funeral with a riderless horse and young John Jr. saluting his dad, the president.
The cortege moving slowly and mournfully up Pennsylvania Avenue.
To this point, news coverage was somewhat limited on TV.
This is the CBS Evening News with Walter Cronkite.
CBS had only recently expanded the evening news to 30 minutes. JFK's assassination was the first live breaking news coverage on TV. Dan Rather on what it meant.
Television news had not reached parity, with certainly not with print, and for that matter, not even with radio news, in terms of its credibility. And the four dark days in Dallas changed that.
Much like 9/11, instead of dividing us, media brought the country together.
Television in that period, not just for news, but because it was a news story, became a kind of national hearth.
The year ended with a country united in sorrow. Then 79 days later, TV and radio brought us together again on a brighter note.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles!
Close your eyes and I'll kiss you.
The JFK story for the first time gave Americans a front row seat to history as it happened. It was a crash course in covering big stories like Kennedy's dream of a man on the moon.
We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other things. Not because they are easy, but because they are hard.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
4 days, 60 years ago, that changed so many things. Alan First, News 98.1, KMBZ.
Jay Widener has come up with a conspiracy theory that's unlike any other about the JFK assassination. You and I have heard every theory about the CIA and about the FBI and Russia and Cuba, and I wouldn't waste your time with it. I wouldn't bore you with it. You've heard them all, but you have not heard this. This is completely unique. Your homework is to watch JFKX. JFKX. It is an Amazon Prime series. It is remarkable. And next week, Jay Widener, who presents the theory, who lays out the theory, unlike any you have ever heard, the most compelling evidence that I've heard about the Kennedy assassination. One sentence: there were no shots fired at Dealey Plaza. The greatest gift you and I can give and receive is a request for help.
And my classroom should be as well air-conditioned as your favorite bar.
Next Sunday. All right. Right. Stay bright.